Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no break for this man. You see him on BattleBots. You see him on the NFL Network. And, of course, he is on the Rose Rotation with some super interesting stuff when it comes to baseball and getting to know these players and the inside stuff. It's an outstanding podcast, The Rose Rotation. And Chris joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from Los Angeles. Are you home, I hope?
Nope.
Where are you?
Palo Alto.
Oh, that's right. I saw your son's pitching there.
Yeah, there's a cool little Stanford camp that happens. They do them over like 4 week increments, and it's been a great time. A lot of talent up here. Holy smokes, are there some good players?
You are a fun follow on Instagram, by the way. You have great stuff on there. Like I'm always,
thanks.
I feel like I'm hanging out with you. I'm like, Chris. If Chris was in Cleveland, he wouldn't hang out with me. But now I feel like I'm hanging out with him on there. In fact,
well, but,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, there's no shot that we would be hanging out. Jeff, possibly.
Thank you, Chris.
You, zero. We would have the university school security, alumni security team on standby at all times.
Yeah, I was disappointed there was no concierge in the porta potty there when I was there over the weekend.
Very funny pictures you sent.
Thank you.
Very funny.
You're like
Andy
well
just
done.
Showed them to me, Chris, and I said, I sent Chris the same picture of your field when I was there for a game a year or so ago.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It's beautiful. It was not.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, it was always gorgeous. It wasn't quite souped up like that when I used to manage the team in my pink button down shirt that other teams would make fun of me for wearing.
As long as you had your corduroy jacket on during the cold weather in the baseball games, you were fine, though, right?
All right, boys, let's move on.
Yeah, oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Let's just start here. As you hear news trickle out of Delaware or wherever it's coming from with Deshaun Watson over the last week between New York and Delaware and everywhere we are in between, I'm just curious, what's going through Chris Rose's mind?
Trying to think, you know, I have compartmentalized this just down to football at this point. The rest of the stuff I've kind of dealt with as a fan, as a father, as a husband, all that sort of stuff. So now I'm just kind of down to the football side of things. And if that makes me a bad person, it makes me a bad person. So I've just tried to play out the scenarios in my head. If he's gone indefinitely, what do the Browns do next? Are they, you know, they can say all the nice things about we believe in Jacoby Brissett, and who knows, maybe they do. I think that's tough for a lot of Browns fans if that's your guy going into the season. Do I think he's capable as a backup? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. Could the Browns survive if it's a 8-game suspension with him at quarterback based on the first 4 games? They could. They could. I wonder what's next because, you know, they have to be smart enough to have a plan. The if-then scenarios, right? The in-case-of-emergency break glass sort of deal. So I have to imagine that they have other plans in place.
We were kicking this around earlier, Chris. Do the Browns have buyer's remorse at this point? In other words, if they could go back and do it again, would they? And I still think they would, even though things might be more intense than they thought they might be, because if and when things get settled, they have what they wanted. Whenever that is, an upgraded quarterback. You think they have buyer's remorse or no?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea. whether they have it or they don't. From a football standpoint, I totally understand it, and I think most people do. But it's not just a football decision here. It's just not. And so that's the hard part.
Let's move on. Let's talk baseball.
Let's talk Baker for a minute.
All right. Let's do it. You're right. Let's talk Baker. What do you think?
He made his comments yesterday, Chris, and people seem to be interpreting it one way or the other.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? Mm-hmm. If you didn't, we can play it for
you. I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was the ending of it was awkward. It was like, well, if the Browns want to reach out, maybe we can figure something out. I didn't know how to interpret the end of that.
That's the way it felt, though.
Well, I mean, yeah. I told you this, you know, what was it, 5 or 6 weeks ago? I said that if Watson is indefinitely suspended or suspended for the year, I still believe that the Browns' best option is Baker Mayfield, and I think Baker Mayfield's best option is the Cleveland Browns. Now, everybody in the world can say, well, no. This is like the jilted lover. I'm sorry. There are ways to make things work. And if that means somebody in the Browns, and once again, I don't know if this would happen. It's very possible it wouldn't. But I come from the let's treat everybody like adults here. And even if we don't have a great relationship, if we feel like we're best for one another, we can make that work. That's what I would say. And yes, I do think it would be on the Browns to call him and say, listen, you're under contract. We won't franchise tag you at the end of the year. You'll be free to go wherever you want. Hopefully, we all win a Super Bowl together, and we're the ones that everybody will look at and say, what are you doing letting a Super Bowl-winning quarterback walk? You know, like, that's the ideal scenario. Now, are there issues with that? Absolutely. I don't know where Baker sits in the locker room. Like, I just don't know. And I don't think anybody in the media knows.
Agreed.
The locker room hasn't been open for 2 years. So you don't get the real feeling of what's happening in a locker room. I hope that the Browns wouldn't say, hey, listen, he screwed us enough. Like, he didn't read well on the field. He was a pain in the butt here and there. The point where they're trying to convince themselves they're better with Jacoby Brissett. I have a hard time buying that.
If you were going to pick up the phone and call him the way he kind of said, obviously, what would it take for a decision on Deshaun Watson though? Okay, if it's a year, then maybe Jimmy's got to eat humble pie and say, here's what we're going to do and come on back. Let's figure this out. Exactly what you just laid out. Is it a year?
Yeah,
if it's 6 to 8, yeah, then you're not doing that, right?
Right. I think that's the line I would draw personally, but it's, you know, it's not my decision. Now, as far as it happening, I have to be honest with you. These people are like, oh, that's too tough to have happen. Is it really? Like, have you ever been in a relationship with somebody, a friend, a romantic relationship, something else where you're like, one phone call could change everything. It really could. The easy stuff is done. Baker's under contract. Baker really doesn't have anywhere to go. There's not teams beating down the door of the Browns to get him right now. Like, it's all that stuff. The tough stuff is done. The easy part should be getting in a room and saying, this is where we stand. We know it. But wouldn't you want it? Like, if you could only have one more year at the station you're working at because you didn't have any other opportunities elsewhere, guys, wouldn't you sit there, earn your money, be a good person, battle your ass off so that you could set yourself up for your next job? Wouldn't you do it?
Quit making sense,
Chris. Yeah, I almost said the same thing.
It's exactly right. You're exactly right.
I mean Baker's, all of these people
his contract's
who are writing
up,
that
yeah.
it's just too difficult, guys. It wouldn't work. Explain to me why it wouldn't work.
Amen.
Is it because Baker doesn't want to walk back in the locker room and have to deal with everybody else? I'll tell you this. Players want to win frickin' games. It's why they don't care who their teammates are. It's why they have to be able to compartmentalize that I could be lining up next to a jerk. They want to win at the end of the day. And if they now, if they don't feel like Baker Mayfield is a better option than Jacoby Brissett, that's a different discussion. All I'm telling you is when I watch football, I feel like Baker's a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett. That's all. Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't argue. I just don't see him coming back, especially after what he said yesterday. I'm still trying to figure out what that little thing at the end, and we're going to talk about it later.
And it's funny, Andy, because some folks have interpreted that as he said there's no chance that, you know, no, he puts an end to it. And others have latched onto what I've latched onto, where he said for that to happen, they'd have to reach out. Chris, that door's open. He opened the door right there.
Right. Yes, it was a door that I talked about opening 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yes. And by the way, might not happen. Could be on his way to Seattle, for all I know, sometime soon. That could happen. And like I said, we're not privy to the behind-the-scenes stuff to where there's it might be irreparable damage. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is that with the scenarios that lie in front of this team, it has to at least be taken into consideration unless there's stuff that we're not privy to, which is very possible.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, where are you on your guardometer for the Guardians right now? I mean, it was great coming into this homestand, and then everything just went.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I don't think the Twins are going to run away with that division. So, you know, their lineup is significantly better than ours. And so, you know, if we're not holding them to two runs a game, it's a coin flip at best. And that's the tough part, right? I mean, I would say this. The Guardians have so many young players on their 40-man roster who are not a part of this organization right now at the major league level. They've got to move on from one or two of these guys. So why not trade it for somebody that you know can help you right now? I would try it. I mean, I think it's important for the psyche of the guys in the clubhouse. It's important for the fan base to feel like they want to go after something that's attainable. Like if Chicago were 8 games in front right now, I'd be like, listen, guys, just suck on it and deal with the lineup we've got. But Chicago stinks. They can't get out of their own way, and Tony La Russa gets booed every other home game. You know, like chanting fire Tony. And I just don't have enough faith in the Twins that they're going to run away with the division. So I still think it's there for the taking, regardless of how the next 2 days go against Minnesota and then the next 3 against the Yankees. You know?
Yep, yep, yep. All right, Chris, thank you. We appreciate you. Enjoy Palo Alto. Have fun.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. God, it's been so nice. Everything. The weather, the people, the camp they run, it's pretty first class, I got to tell you.
Send more pictures, and then we'll have that phone call where maybe we make up. But you have to call me. I'm not calling you.
Just so we didn't even make up. For goodness sakes, I like our dysfunctional relationship.
Would one of you please reach out?
Every week.
Hi, everybody.
One of you please reach out.
Hi, everybody. He's Chris Rosen. I'm Andy Baskin. We're here for Prozac. Life is good, isn't it? Oh, no, it isn't.
Bye.
Goodbye, Chris.
Bye, guys.
See you later. Bye. All right, Chris Rose, make sure you check him out on the NFL Network, or you can check him out on BattleBots, or you can check him out on the Rose Rotation. Have you had a chance to listen to that podcast? That's awesome. I mean, he does some really cool, unique stuff on that you kind of don't get anywhere else. And again, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we return, we will make Jeff Thomas do it. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-578-0092. It was a week ago, man. We were sitting here. The Guardians couldn't do anything wrong.
On fire.
They beat Minnesota 11-10. They were 36-28 at that point, and they were in first place by a game. And then the last game of the series happened. And then the Boston series happened. And then Monday night happened. And Monday night was ugly. I was at the game Monday night. Man. Jeff.
Ernie looked good.
You know what?
That's a decent knuckleball.
Yeah. And this brings me up to the subject that I want to talk about with you. I thought, was that a knuckleball? I thought that was just off speed.
He had a knuckle.
Well, I was sitting there. I thought he actually just tried to throw it. On TV, did it look like a true knuckle?
Yeah, it was a knuckle.
Was it even
40? He was at 50 miles an hour.
It was 50 miles an hour. But his regular fastball was only in the 70s. And his ERA at one point was 54.
Well, he's not a pitcher.
No, it was weird because they're losing. First of all, in that game, and I'm sorry to jump back past the doubleheader, just because I just thought it was weird. Minnesota was up 9-0, and there was a play at first base, and they wanted replay. And I'm like, come on, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that Bush?
That was a big debate. Rick Manning, Matt.
Oh, what did Rick and Matt say?
It was basically, you're up 9-0. And the other one was, well, you defend your player. You know, and your player wants a hit.
Who took what side?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, come on. If I listen to the game, I know who took what side.
I don't completely remember.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I think Rick was saying, hey, man, don't replay that. And correct me if I'm wrong, anybody. Rick was, you got to let that one go. You're up 9-0.
I'm totally team Manning. Like, I sat there. It was 9-0, and I had pretty decent seats. And so I was in the yelling distance. And I was like, are you serious? But I didn't want to embarrass my family that I was with. I hate to say it. If it was a youth game, I probably would have said something. As a coach, I clearly would have said something to the other coach. They were up 9-0. The game was over. It was not, we brought Ernie Clement in the pitch after that. It was 9-0, and the Twins thought, oh, you know what? We better check this out on replay.
You know, the one thing, though, Andy, and I don't want to get too into this right now.
Sure.
Play the game the right way. I almost always look at the scoreboard and try and put that out. If you thought the guy beat it out for a hit, you go ahead and replay it. I agree with Rick, but because I do feel that way. On the other hand, the whole unwritten rule thing.
But they were running station to station.
I know.
At that point, too. What are you guys doing?
But it goes into the unwritten rule garbage that we can't stand.
But I also thought it was one of those new unwritten rules.
Yeah, because replay. They didn't have replay before.
Yeah, good for Rick. I hope Rick, I totally had your back because the first thing I thought of was like, it's 9-0 and you're asking for replay. Come on. And then I thought it was weird. I was like,
guys want their hits, Andy.
Well, when Tito walked out after that to go to the, what was it, top of the ninth when he threw Ernie, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was weird. He was holding this gigantic card and he was talking to the umpire. And I'm like, what's he doing? Like, is there a rules question he wants to know about? And then I realized that don't you have to designate your position players that can throw? Now, I think that's part of the new rule, and that's why he was out there. So
you can't throw them in a game that's not a certain differential.
No, and then I also thought it was cool that he got to hit, that we gave up the DH.
Yeah,
which I thought was also interesting. So it was just. And this brings me to the point I want to talk about with baseball, because, you know, you and I were discussing this. If you're not going to the game because they're not going to win, can you not have a good time? Like, I had a good time. They lost 11-1, okay? And I still figured out a way to have a good time at the game.
Well, you know why?
Because I was with my family, and I was having fun, and I enjoyed the game, and I was watching to the last out.
Done. You went to watch a Major League Baseball game. You know, and we kicked this around a little bit before the show, and we've talked about it over the years. You want to see a good game. Okay, you didn't see a good game, but you still had an entertainment value to what you went to see. The idea of whether a team is good or bad has never, ever factored into my wanting to or me going to one of our team's games, ever. And the reason why... I want them to win, sure. However, I want to go see Major League Baseball. I want to go see the National Football League. I want to go see the NBA. Well, this is my team, so this is the team I root for, regardless of whether they're good or bad. So the quality of the team, honestly, never mattered to me. The product is what mattered to me, which was Major League Baseball. I want to go see a Major League Baseball game. And so I've always been a little befuddled by folks who say, I'm not going to go watch until they start winning, regardless of whatever sport it is. I've never understood that. Because to me, the draw is the top level of play in whatever sport I want to go watch. That's always been the draw. Combined with, well, this is my team. This is who I follow.
Yeah, I thought for you to say that, I thought it was interesting because I still had a good time at the game
sure you
the
did.
Other night. And, you know, it was
Andy,
fun.
How can you not?
Well, they got crushed.
But what if they were?
There's a difference between and for us. I know this is really
what
inside
baseball.
What if
they baseball. Were 50 and what if they were 60-10 record wise?
I still would have gone
and get well. No, and got crushed. Well, you still would have had a great time. I mean, you can't even depend on the outcome. You know, a great team can have a lousy game, and you're stuck with the tickets for that game. My son was at that same game.
Right.
He thought the same thing you thought.
I walked out of that game.
Wow, that was a lousy game, but I had a great time.
I did too because it was weird. My my wife, who's a huge baseball fan, who worked for the team for a long time. You know, we rarely ever got to go as fans because we were always working before we were married. And you know, I sat there, and at one point she looked at me when Ernie was pitching. She goes, "His ERA is 54." She goes, "I've never seen that before." I go, "Well, you see that sometimes early in the season." And she said, "I know, but it's June." And I'm looking at the scoreboard, and it says his ERA is 54. And I go, "That's kind of cool." And then I started thinking about it, just to go. I mean, there I've been to two games in that ballpark now where I wasn't working, just as a fan with tickets. And twice now I've seen the Indians lose their DH or take away their DH. Do you remember the game against Toronto when Charlie Nagy had to hit? Because Dick Pohl made a mistake on the lineup card when he went to go take it out. Do you remember that? And then Grover's like, "Well, I guess Chuck's got a hit."
Yeah.
And I think Chuck was hitting like fifth in that game. And then you look at what happened on Monday night where they decided to let Ernie pitch, so they ended up losing the designated hitter. And it's always kind of weird to hear that, you know, the pitcher now batting, you know, the pitcher. And so you're just like, and I remember walking away going, "All right, well, this is kind of cool. It's unusual that, like, even in a really, really bad game, you could always say, hey, I've never seen that before, or I've had the opportunity to do that." Because, you know, we were talking before the show with Meredith about just, you know, what you asked, were there a lot of fans at the game or something like that? You said it didn't seem like there were a lot of fans at the game.
Yeah, and I know that my judgment was slightly skewed because I'm driving home from work yesterday. And so
this is yesterday, yeah.
Right, and so, you know, I drive past Progressive Field. And I realize that it's a middle of the day. It's a 1 o'clock game. It's a makeup game. So I'm sure that not a lot of people had tickets for it. But the park looked so empty. And I mean, I don't know if I'm a school aged kid, you know, they're out of school right now. It's summer break. And I don't know what their parents are doing. But I know in a situation like that, my parents would have tried to bring me to a baseball game, you know, in the middle of the summer. And so I'm just looking at Progressive Field and thinking, oh my gosh, that just looks so empty. And then when I watched the later game on TV, I didn't really notice as much. But, I mean, it's different because you're not seeing the huge wide shot of the stadium and the upper decks being empty. But that's what it was with the 1 o'clock game. And that made me wonder, you know, how many people are going to these Guardians games.
Well, I mean, over the weekend they had good crowds. Where they have 27,000 against Boston. And, there'll be plenty of fans in the ballpark on over the weekend against the Yankees. I started looking at, you know, you said that, and then I started going through the reasons why people might not be going to the ballpark. They're so mad about the name. I mean, they did come home in first place, you know, a virtual tie above first place when they came home after losing to Minnesota that last game in Minnesota. But look, gas is like, you know, $5. You know, we were buying, and again, you don't have to, but we had a bunch of people with us, and it was my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday. And, you know, and so she had some friends with us too. And, you know, you're like, $9 for a hot dog? Okay. I don't know how long I can go with this.
You're allowed to take food.
Yeah, no, I know. And
I've never wanted to do. I always want to get, you know, something at the ballpark. Hey, let's get something at the ballpark.
Yeah, you never want to do that.
Now it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I do know that they had, you know, like they had hot dogs for $4.50, but that's still like,
yeah,
it's still pretty pricey.
Yeah. You can go to the grocery store and buy 17 packs for $4.50. All right, not completely. Sorry.
But I'm not sitting here
No, we're not complaining.
I do think there is a way to go to the ballpark relatively cheap, okay?
Sure.
But I also think
that if you want to do that, you certainly can.
Yeah,
I mean, that's quite possible.
And that's awesome to be there.
Absolutely.
And that's great.
And good for the teams that do that.
Yeah.
You know,
but I do think our team, ours goes above and beyond in some ways to try to make it possible and economical for you to go to the game. I mean, How many times have we had Curtis Danberg sitting in here and saying, look, we can even show you the way that you can go to our game and really not try not to, for a family of four, try not to spend more than $100, which I think is super difficult.
Well,
especially right now. I don't know how a family of four could go for less than $150.
Just keep flashing back to the days when you could go, you know, you could literally go to a game. And now this is some time ago. You could go to a game, get a ticket, get a hot dog, some popcorn, something to drink, and the whole thing cost you less than $20.
I mean, cheaper than a movie.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Wasn't even that long ago, but it's the cost of professional sports. And again, the whole winning aspect of it to me is not really a factor. It's the event and loving the sport.
Yeah, I do want to bring that up for just a moment when we come back. I mean, does the team have to win? Do they have to win for you to want to go? I don't know. Is the experience enough for you? 216-578-0092 or on Twitter at CLE Talking Heads Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.